Hi, this is Jerome Gilmartin, JMJ Catholic Radio, bringing local and EWTN Catholic programming to Northeastern and Central Pennsylvania. Welcome to the In the Father's Hands program with host Mary Kate Grady. And we had a technical problem with the program that was supposed to air this weekend, and so instead we're going to be hearing from Mary Kate herself, some personal thoughts. Mary Kate?
Thank you so much, Jerry, and so good to be back with you all again, especially as we prepare to journey into this Holy Week, just a prayerful time of reflection and silence and getting ready for the glorious Feast of Easter. So thank you all for joining us today. And as always, please just keep in mind JMJ Catholic Radio, whether you want to support them through your prayers, donations, or just any kind of assistance, you can go ahead and give them a call for any questions at 570-287-4670. If you'd like to send a donation through the mail or a card or a note, you can contact them at JMJ Catholic Radio, P.O. Box 851, Pittston, Pennsylvania, 18640. And also, just as a reminder, this program, In the Father's Hands, it airs on Saturdays and Sundays on JMJ, but if you can't catch it on the radio, you can always listen to the podcast form, and then just go into Google and type In the Father's Hands podcast, and it's on Spotify. You should be able to find it pretty easily. So thank you again for joining us today, and as we always do, let's go ahead and open our scriptures to the Gospel of St. John, chapter 10, verses 27, where Jesus promises, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." And we thank you, Jesus, for telling us this message so that we will always know that we are held by the Father, what meaning and worth our lives have, how we are always supported and watched over by our Heavenly Father. And we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And as Jerry mentioned, this is going to be a little bit of a different program. The guest that we were looking forward to having on, we had some technical difficulties, so we're really hoping to have him on soon in the future. But something that actually got the wheels spinning in my head, what I would speak about today, was actually a conversation I had with Jerry and this other guest. Jerry was sharing a lot about, as Holy Week comes on, about the Heavenly Father and his vantage point of Holy Week, looking down from heaven, his beloved Son suffering and dying for us, what he was thinking, experiencing, and it kind of made me start to think about the Heavenly Father, my connection, my relationship with him, how I view him. And I had shared this last week with the priest that we were going to have on about how a lot of times, at least in my experience, the Heavenly Father is not necessarily spoken about a lot, maybe in homilies or just in conversation. So much focus is on Jesus, which of course it should be. But the three members of the Holy Trinity, we want to hone in on each of them. So just to think about the Heavenly Father, and I invite all of you, especially as we come on this Holy Week, to think about our Heavenly Father and the relationship that you have with him. If you go into the Gospel of St. Matthew, there's so many passages that Jesus is talking about his Heavenly Father, how he's come here to show us the Father, to lead us to his Heavenly Father. He's always speaking in reference to the Father. And I have heard the gospel so many times throughout my life, and it's almost like it just kind of struck me a couple weeks ago, wow, Jesus was here to show us the Father, to help us introduce us to him, help us get to know who he is. And in my mind, I had focused so much on Jesus and his words telling us how to get to heaven, but not thinking he's telling us about how to get to know his Heavenly Father, to have a relationship with him. So I was thinking this week about my relationship with the Heavenly Father and just some experiences that I had with him throughout my life, or different times I really felt like he stepped in and I knew his presence. Before I jump into that, I wanted to share briefly, I don't know if I've ever shared this before in this program, about kind of the reason why it's named In the Father's Hands, and why, you know, Carol and Ed had invited me to do it and kind of what my thinking was on it was I wanted to have guests on that would share their personal stories about their relationship with God. The Catholic Church is a wonderfully broad area where you have people that are intellectual, maybe people that are not so intellectual. And something I found in my line of work, I'm not necessarily working with people. I work at a hospital that are maybe necessarily, they're not attuned maybe to St. Thomas Aquinas or philosophical things. But something that does always reach people is sharing personal stories. And that reaches anybody, whether you're philosophical or not. But I kind of was directing it maybe towards people that aren't as philosophical, but it would touch their hearts to hear other people share their stories and relationship with God. To have a conversation with a coworker. You know, this situation happened today, and I really felt like God was present there, and He brought this whole thing about. I can feel His presence. I know He's there in this situation. And so that was kind of the idea behind In the Father's Hands, that God cares so intimately about every detail of our life. He's so involved. We're in His hands, and we should talk about it. You know, we a lot of times share with our friends and other people about our family members. We might talk about our mom or our dad, our siblings. You know, everybody out there knows that if you're a grandparent, you love to talk about your grandkids. Why shouldn't we talk about our Heavenly Father with each other and share about Him? So, anyways, that was kind of the premise or the idea behind that. I'd like to share a little bit with you about my experience with our Heavenly Father and just, throughout my life, just some experiences I've had with Him. I guess this is just a small story from childhood, but I remember, I think I was about 6 or 7 years old, somebody was babysitting me, and my dad had a ministry in Philadelphia at the time, a home for unwed mothers, and so I was with one lady, and she was babysitting me, and we were at her house, we were getting ready to go back and meet where my dad was, and she lived down in Philadelphia, small little neighborhood, and we were getting ready to go into her car to travel over to where my dad was. And it's kind of funny because I wasn't raised to be picky or demanding, but I must have been having an off morning that morning, at least so I thought. And so we're going out to get into her car, and I said, I want a soda. I don't want to leave. I want a soda. And so she said, fine, I'm going to go back in my apartment. We'll get you a soda, and then we'll come back out. So, like, time was of the essence here because we ran in real quick, got the soda, came back out, and it was just... it was just a matter of a few seconds. We were just about to get into her car, and a motorcycle comes around the corner and crashes into her vehicle that we were just about to get into. And I was so scared. I was little. I was crying my eyes out. And it was kind of one of those moments where it was sort of like, if I and her had gotten into that car like a few minutes earlier, I don't know if we'd be here because that motorcycle just crushed right into the car. And I was so scared, it took me kind of a while to pull together. We went to see my dad, and I was doing better once I saw him and everything. But just like a profound moment over the years, I've thought of that story so many times because I saw the car crushed in all the way into the front seat. And I remember thinking, boy, we're supposed to sit in that car. And God even used my temperamentalness of the day to just step in there. You know, her and I were supposed to still be here. She's now married and has 3 children. I'm here, and God wanted us to be here. You know, He really stepped in. I felt like the Heavenly Father just guided that situation. He used my pickiness to kind of pull things aright. That's just kind of one story that, and these stories sometimes in our life just kind of come back to us. We rehash them at different times, and you're, kind of just wondering, okay, God, what's your plan for my life? Okay, I'm supposed to be here. That you picked that out. Something else, too, about the Heavenly Father that I've found is that He really cares about details. And so this just happened to me recently, but it's happened over the years as well, that I just kind of felt called. I've been praying to St. Therese for a friend of mine, and I felt called to send her flowers because St. Therese says, I'll send a bouquet of heavenly roses down. And so I I decided that I was going to send her flowers. She doesn't live anywhere around me. She lives way out in the Midwest, and she didn't know I was going to send them or anything. So I went ahead and was going to order the flowers, and I thought to myself, okay, I'll send them on Friday. And all of a sudden, last second, I thought, you know what, maybe I'll send them on Wednesday. But I didn't know why I thought that. I just thought, well, it'd be nice if she got them sooner, I guess. So I went ahead and ordered the flowers for her. And I found out that the day that the flowers were sent to her was the day that her dad had passed away many years ago, but always kind of a hard anniversary for her. And, you know, I knew about her dad passing away, of course. I never really remembered the date. And so she had contacted me, and she's like, wow, like, you sent them to me on my dad's anniversary. And I thought to myself, that was not me. That was God, 100%. And so that's just like God caring about the details, the Father stepping in to pay attention to details. And that happened to me actually last year as well. I ordered a mass for a lady who had just been so helpful to me in so many ways. And I went ahead and ordered it for just a random day, I thought, you know. And here, I knew that her son had passed away 10 years. It was a 10-year anniversary, which I didn't know that either. But the mass was offered on the day that her son had passed away 10 years before. So she contacted me and said, oh, Mary Kate, that was so thoughtful for you to have the mass set on that day. And again, it was like, here we go, the Heavenly Father paying attention to such details, you know, that I had no idea it was that day. To me, it was just a random day to pick for that. So, you know, one of many little stories I could share with you about how the Father cares about the most intimate details of our life in spite of us, you know, because I didn't know any of these things, but he knew them and he orchestrated it. Something else about our Heavenly Father, I feel like, is he really, and this is the premise a lot of times for the guests I have on the program, they talk about how they felt in their life that the Father has prepared them for whatever their mission is, whatever their goal is, right? So, you know, in my own life, I can look back and see some different things. Something that hits close to home that I would like to share is, I guess about 6 years ago, I had come home from the missions, and I was working as a teacher's aide, and I wasn't really feeling like that was quite the place for me, but it was a really good experience. I was so glad to do it. So I was talking to one of my coworkers who talked about being a nurse's aide. And, you know, over the years, I think I had a couple people say to me, well, why don't you become a nurse? You might be really good at that. And I thought, I don't think that's, like, meant for me. I don't want to be a nurse. But I never really knew about, like, a nurse's aide. So basically, you assist the nurse. You know, you don't pass medication. It's simpler, but it's really hands-on, and that's kind of who I am. I really like doing hands-on. So one of my coworkers said to me, I'm going to go back to being a nurse's aide. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. So I came home, and I told my mom about it. And she said, Mary Kate, that sounds perfect for you. You should do that. And I thought, oh, I don't know, you know, maybe. But I remember inside of myself, a lot of times when people present ideas to me, I don't present interest right away because I get a little nervous. Like, I don't want to seem too excited about this. They're going to think I should do it. So I remember kind of holding back, but inside thinking, man, you know what? I think she might be right. So I, you know, just a couple months later, I enrolled in a program, and I became certified as a nurse's assistant, which I've been doing for 6 years. But something that really struck me, and I thought about many times over the last couple months, is that, as some of you know, my mom contracted pancreatic cancer, and we found out in August of 2022, and she passed away this past January. And I just kept thinking to myself, you know, number one, I've really felt over the last 6 years that I was really meant to do that job. I really enjoy it. I feel like God's presence in it. I feel like called to do it. But just, it almost seemed ironic that my mom was the one who suggested it, because God graced me that when my mom was passing and in the process of dying, I got to take care of her. And I thought, boy, like, right there, that's just God all the way. You know, my mom was the one that suggested to me to do it. She kind of kick-started me into that. And, you know, ever since I've done it, I really felt like I was meant to do it. And then it just happened, or not just happened, that I was able to, like, use those skills I learned to take care of her, to get her ready to go be with the Father. And so that was a great gift from God to me. And I just felt like I really saw his hand in orchestrating that whole situation, you know, that she suggested it. I ended up taking care of her, but also that it just got me into the ministry that I'm doing now. So thankful to her for that and for our Heavenly Father for stepping in there with that as well. And I think I may have mentioned this in the past, but I did used to volunteer in North Dakota on an Indian reservation. And when I was out there, I ended up caring for somebody also that was sick. And so just some moments in your life where you see God's hand guiding events. And at the time, you know, you're like, I don't know if I want to be doing this right now, or this isn't a pleasant situation. And as time goes on, you're like, wow, he was preparing me for this next thing. There's that passage that so many people love where it says, all things work together for the good of those who love God. But not just that, you know, in Jeremiah, it says, I know all the plans I have for you, says the Lord, you know, plans for a future and a hope. And I've felt that in my life. And I challenge any of you to look at your life and even look at some of those hard times you've had to see God's hand in there. He's been guiding you to the next thing he wanted you to do. He's been preparing you for something else. This past Sunday, we were reading about the raising of Lazarus. Jesus didn't raise him right away. He passed, and then Jesus raised him, and he said, this is for the glory of God. So just remember, even in those hard moments of your life, it might seem like the Heavenly Father is nowhere around, but sometimes he kind of steps back because situations are to be for his glory, and he's with us in our suffering, but he doesn't always stop it, but he walks with us in it, and always be assured of that. I am certain that that's the case, that he's with us and all that. And then I guess just a few other things I wanted to mention about God also doing seemingly impossible things. He kind of steps in, like I had mentioned earlier, he sort of uses us even in our frailty and weakness. And in spite of ourselves, he saves us. I had a privilege again last year of sort of walking with somebody as they were getting ready to go be with him in heaven. And this was my aunt. And I was sort of caring, excuse me, at a distance, because she lived in Philadelphia. I live here about 3 hours away. So I had a lot of kind and good friends who were stepping in and helping me with taking care of her. I went to see her. I think it was about a month before she passed away, a little less. And I realized that my aunt, who was a very strongly practicing Catholic, loved God very much. I realized that she didn't have a brown scapular at the nursing home where she was. And I actually I'm not even sure she was enrolled or not. When I was down there, I had my own blessed scapular, you know. And so I put the scapular on her because I thought maybe she's been enrolled and she just doesn't have it with her. And so I put the scapular on her when I went to see her. And so, you know, over the next couple weeks, a lot of phone calls exchanged, checking in how she was doing. So I called my one friend, who is a great devotee of the brown scapular, and she's also a nurse practitioner. And I was really calling her just to get some advice about my aunt. But she said to me, Mary Kay, is your aunt wearing a brown scapular? I said, I'll make sure. You know, I put my scapular on her when I went to see her, but I'll call down there. And anybody that works in healthcare knows, you know, you get people washed up and dressed and sometimes, you know, might forget to put something back on, a bracelet, a necklace, even a scapular. And so I thought, I better call there and make sure. So I called down to the nursing home and a friend of my aunt's who I got to know, I said, you know, Marie, I said, is my aunt wearing that scapular? And she's like, oh, no, it's sitting off on the side or somewhere else. So I said, would you put the scapular on her? I'm not sure she's enrolled or not, but in case she is and it's blessed, put it around her neck. Well, my aunt passed away not too many hours after that, and it really struck me in my heart that, you know, I put that scapular on her, and that person that I talked to for a completely different reason said, Mary Kate, make sure she's wearing it. And I would call down, they put it on her, and she didn't pass that much longer after. And I really felt God's caring for her in that, and kind of working through a seemingly impossible situation, you know, like, how is this going to come about? I also experienced that a few years ago. You know, a lot of you probably during the pandemic had different experiences, hard experiences, not being able to access everything as you want, maybe getting to Mass or having a priest see a loved one in the hospital. I've talked to different people that have had just different difficulties with that. So I was working at my hospital, and I was taking care of a couple. They had COVID, and the wife wasn't doing so well. So I was, you know, working and taking care of them, and I, you know, kind of found out from a roundabout way that they were Catholic. So I thought, oh, you know, we should consider trying to get a priest in there. So I was working that day. The next day, they put me on a different unit. But I called over to that unit just to see how she was doing. And the one aide I talked to said, oh, Mary Kate, she's not doing well. She's not going to make it. And I thought, oh, my goodness, you know, she needs a priest. So I asked the girl, I said, would someone come over, like a priest or someone to see her? And she said, yeah, like the minister came over. And I thought, oh, no, like, she's Catholic. Like, I really want her to see a priest, receive the last rites. And I didn't feel like the girl I was talking to would know about that. So what I did was I went home that night. Really early the next morning, I called my parish priest. I said, Father, I said, this lady's Catholic. She's dying. I'm pretty sure that she didn't get to actually see a priest to give her, like, the last rites. I said, Father, I said, you know, a lot of times at the hospital, you can't really contact a priest, especially if you're not a family member. I said, but would you go over there and see if they'll let you in the unit to see her? And this good, kind priest is a very brave soul, and he went right over there and, you know, without the family or anything requesting him to be there. And they let him on the unit, and he went to see her, and she was so happy. She received Holy Communion and last rites multiple times before she passed away. And I thought, well, God, thanks for stepping in there, because you can't just kind of go off, you couldn't go on and off that unit easily. So I knew he really paved the way for this lady, which I was so grateful for that. And even another time, I experienced this with our pastor here at my parish, it was the same thing. It was on the COVID unit. I had a lady, and she was going to be transferred to a different hospital. And I had asked her on, like, a Saturday, you know, hey, would you like to see a priest? And she said, sure. So I left. It was late at night when she told me. I left a note for the next day. In the morning, I said, could you call a priest? Well, I think something happened. Somebody forgot to. So I was working again that day, and I called the priest. I asked her again, you want to see a priest? Sure. So I called the priest at our parish, the pastor. He came right over. He heard her confession, gave her Holy Communion. I went home that night, and that lady was supposed to go to a different hospital the next morning. She passed away in the nighttime. And I remember thinking, like, God, you're awesome. You know, you just, you want souls so badly. You fight for them so much. You're fighting for this lady's soul. So I have so many other stories I could share. But especially, you know, I ask you again, as this Holy Week comes on and just into the Easter season, if you might sit back and reflect on the Heavenly Father's presence in your life. He loves us so much. He cares so much about all the details of our lives. Sometimes he feels really far away, and it's harder to recognize his presence. But just call out to him at all times. He's with us. He cares about us. And, you know, we just need to have faith and trust in him, and realize that he wants our salvation so much more than we do. He loves us so much more than anybody else. And so please just, as this Holy Week comes on, reflect about our Heavenly Father's presence. And I would like to kind of conclude here with this prayer. It's called the Fiat of the Eternal Father, and it goes like this. My beloved Father, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Be thou my Father, be always my Eternal Father. Do not leave my soul, do not abandon me. Do not leave me out of your sight, my Father, for I am your child, whom you have created to please you, to adore you, to honor you, living my days as you have given me the license to live it. I offer up this fiat through Mary to Jesus, to you, Eternal Father. And please, you know, as I said, just abandon yourself to the Heavenly Father and ask him as this Holy Week comes on if he would, in a special way, just allow you to maybe experience a little bit of what he felt during this time, during this week, when his beloved Son, our Savior Jesus, gave his life for us. And I would just like to have you all, if you have time this week, to go into the Gospel of St. John. Beautiful Gospel, my favorite, actually. And there's, you know, basically between 14 and 17 is just Jesus praying to the Father for us. I've always loved that part. I thought it's so beautiful. This one part here, Jesus is talking to his Heavenly Father, and he says, "Holy Father, keep them in thy name which thou hast given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. I do not pray that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil one." And it kind of goes on there in the Gospel of St. John. It's so beautiful to me. Jesus is praying to the Father for us. But what it truly shows me is if Jesus is approaching his Father in this way to pray for us, he wouldn't approach the Father in this way if the Father didn't love us so very much. And so maybe even just if you have time this week to sit and read the Gospel of St. John, especially chapter 17, Jesus just prays from his heart to his Father for us. And it's just such a beautiful monologue there of him praying to his Father. But like I said, in the prayer, that the prayers and the words that Jesus speaks to his Father, you can just tell he wouldn't be saying this to his Father if our Father didn't love us so very much. So please just take the time to sit and read that and be edified by how much Jesus loves us, but how much the Heavenly Father must love us if Jesus speaks so personally to his Father about us, about how much we mean to the Blessed Trinity. And not just that, the whole Gospel of St. John is beautiful, but 14 through 17, when Jesus prays to the Father, that's such a beautiful part. So please go ahead and read that. Look up any verses you know about the Heavenly Father and just let them sit on your heart this week as well. And just let that sink into you how much you're loved. And again, just kind of rounding out the program here, I encourage you all to please support JMJ Catholic Radio. Take the time to listen to it. There's so many ways you can listen to it. There's so much good programming, especially as this Holy Week comes on, just to enter into the mystery of this week, to be present. The sacrifice happened so many years ago for us, but it's brought afresh to our minds every Lent and Holy Week. So please enter into that and just reflect this week on how the Father has been in your life, supported and loved you, and make sure to share it with other people. That's the whole idea behind this program, for us to just share with each other about our Heavenly Father. God bless you all. Have a wonderful Holy Week, and we'll be with you again soon. God bless. Bye-bye now.